athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of the program. So glad to be with you. I tell you what, this week was a super busy week. And so when I'm able to come on and kind of talk some sports and some other stuff and talk with some great guests after a long week, it just does me good as a person, does my mind good. I mean, got a busy weekend with, of course, the Final Four action, the women's championship game on Sunday. Dreamville coming right here to Raleigh Saturday and Sunday. Looking forward to that. For those that are unfamiliar with Dreamville, it's one of the bigger, it's one of the bigger festivals, and it's really come around when you're talking about festivals in the last 5 years, 6 years or so. I mean, Coachella is Coachella. It's one of the bigger festivals, and it's just like huge. But with Dreamville right here in the capital city of Raleigh, it is put on by, of course, J. Cole, and you're going to have Lil Wayne, 21 Savage, J. Cole, of course, Erykah Badu, Keisha Cole is going to be, like, it's a pretty Glorilla. Like, they're going to be some really good acts. So looking forward to a couple of days of the festival, and not just the acts, but the vendors. They've really stepped up the vendors this year as well. So I'm really looking forward to Dreamville this weekend. And then I've got a busy weekend, Dreamville Saturday and Sunday. For those that I've got a huge vinyl collection, a huge record collection. I mean, it is huge. When I'm not in season, I'm probably going like every other weekend, either to a show or to some kind of record store or whatever the case may be. So there's a record show that's going to be in Raleigh on Sunday. My son is getting baptized on Sunday. So it's going to be a busy weekend, but a weekend that I am looking forward to, and looking forward to our conversation over the next 57 minutes or so after a busy week. So last week talked extensively about the transfer portal, NIL, and what it means in particular to HBCUs and to smaller schools, generally speaking. And you're looking at a top-down situation, because when the Power Four schools go and get the mid-major schools' players, then the mid-major schools have to go down to either other mid-major. There are levels to Division One. I mean, as I mentioned, I don't like to use the word lower level, but if you're talking about Power Four, then you're talking about mid-major, then you're talking about low major, if you want to call it low major. The Power Fours are going to raid, for the most part, the mid-majors, but as we've seen at the HBCU level, we've seen many players go now to other schools, some of those players to Power Four schools out of the HBCUs. Most of this is about NIL money and short-term money. This is where we are, but it's like, I really paid attention even more so than I have in years past, to the college football playoff because of the expansion, and really more so than anything, paid attention to this year's tournament, both men and women. And by the way, I have three of the four teams that I picked Final Four-wise, Duke, Florida, and Houston. I had Auburn losing a little bit earlier, and I have Houston winning the tournament. Now, you can check out the bracket that I've put forth on my personal X account, my personal Twitter account, @DWare1. Filled out the ESPN.com bracket. Only less than 9%, and it's of course the ESPN Tournament Challenge, and less than 9% of those that did a bracket picked Houston. Now, it's going to be a tough road for Houston, taking on Duke on Saturday. That's going to be a big-time basketball game. Going to break it down a little bit later on in the program. So looking forward to that matchup and looking forward to talking about that matchup. But you talk about some of the good matchups. You've got, of course, Florida and Auburn. That should be a really, really good matchup as well. But where we are with this NIL and the transfer portal, and more specifically as it relates to the smaller schools, because look, like a lot of these schools, I just don't like where college athletics is. I don't like it. You can call me old school. You know, I was in athletic administration, so I remember how things were. I'm not against players getting compensation. I just don't like where it is right now because it really, really hurts low majors. It hurts mid majors, and that doesn't even count the Division II schools. It doesn't even count from an HBCU perspective, the schools out of the CIAA, the schools out of the SIAC, schools like West Virginia State and Lincoln of Missouri. Like, it really hurts those schools as well. It's where we are, and I want to talk a little bit more about that today. As a matter of fact, you heard me talk a lot about Blake Harper. Now, Blake Harper, formerly now of Howard, was named the HBCU National Player of the Year, also the winner of the inaugural HBCU Impact Award. He is in the portal, transferring out of Howard. Talked about him last week. Well, guess what? We're going to talk today with Howard head men's basketball coach Kenny Blakeney today here on the program. I not only want to talk with him because he's at the Final Four, right? So there's a lot that's going on at the Final Four with the coaches. There's a lot of opportunities, camaraderie, opportunities for the coaches to talk with other coaches, maybe to see if there's some openings, that type of thing. And that's what happens a lot of times. And we'll get more specifically into what actually happens at the Final Four at the coaches' convention with Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard. I want to get his thoughts on NIL. I want to get his thoughts on the transfer portal. I also, because he's been affected by this. You had, of course, Blake Harper that left, a couple of other players that left that really impact the program, and it hurts Howard. It has hurt UMS. It's going to hurt Norfolk State, although it seems like Norfolk State is just able to bounce back more than any of the other programs are. But it just hurts these programs because what happens is a lot of times, and maybe it doesn't happen. Of course, you look at a Blake Harper 1 year, he's gone. You look at a KC Shaw 1 year, even though he was a couple of years at Winston-Salem State, 1 year at the Division I level at UMES, and he's gone. Because if you're these coaches, you're trying to build a program, and sometimes it's not even a one-and-done type of situation. It's a new one-and-done, like the old one-and-done. You go to you go to college 1 year, then you go straight to the league. Well, the new one and done is you go to, and it affects mid majors and low majors, if that's what you want to call them, more so. but it affects everyone. Like, you've got sometimes power four, power five. I think you see it more in football, where power four guys will transfer from one program to another, specifically at the quarterback position, because we've seen that a whole lot of times. I mean, maybe more notably, this past year, a guy like a Riley Leonard, who was at Duke at quarterback, excelling. Duke's a power four program, maybe not known for football as much, but you know, I think Manny Diaz is doing a really good job with that program and will do a good job with that program. Well, he transfers, meaning Leonard transfers to Notre Dame, and I mean, put Notre Dame in contention, playing in the national championship game. We don't see power fours as much in basketball per se. But I'm telling you, it hurts programs. I'm really interested to get the thoughts today of Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, who's affected by this. And I want to kind of get, because Howard is an innovative program. Howard is always thinking of ways, the men's basketball program specifically, in terms of making money. Remember last year we talked extensively about what Kenny Blakeney was trying to do in terms of making an investment in the Howard men's program. So in other words, sort of giving a piece of the Howard men's program, for lack of a better term, to an investor. And how do you get a return on your investment and all those kinds of things? Talked extensively about that last year around this time. And so Howard, the men's basketball program, always looking for ways to raise NIL dollars, to really raise the profile of its program. And so really, really looking forward to talking with Kenny Blakeney and getting his thoughts on all of what is college basketball today here on Box to Row. We're going to talk some NBA today on the program as we kind of wind the season down. What we've got a week and a half, a couple of weeks left here, maybe somewhere between 6 to 10 games for respective teams. Teams still jockeying for position. Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City Thunder, running away with things in the West, but you still have some jockeying between, you know, the Lakers, the Houston Rockets. Like, I think the Houston Rockets, I normally look at teams and say, okay, if it's a young team, it's probably not ready, but I don't know. Houston may be ready, because I don't know if the Lakers are going to be, presumably the Lakers will be able to compete, but I'm not 100% sure about that come second round. Golden State, where's Golden State going to be second round? I feel like Houston is poised to make it to the Western Conference Finals, even though it's a young team. So we'll talk some NBA also today here on the program. Look, you can participate here on Box to Row. Hit us up via X or Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow. Also on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. So like I said, busy week. Looking forward to a busy but fun weekend. And again, for the next 47 minutes here on Box Row, just going to enjoy our time together. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as Box to Row rolls on.
BoxToRow.com is your source for conversations with and content on some of the biggest names in sports, HBCU sports, and entertainment. BoxToRow.com.
If you're going on a trip and you need a car reservation, call the car reservation hotline now for access to every major rental car deal across the United States. We can save you a ton of money. Don't get lost searching, and don't get lost in an endless phone tree nightmare. When you call us, there's never a hold time. You'll get connected to a real human. We have access to crazy rental car deals, and we make it easy. Just one phone call to access everything. How much simpler can it get? Find out right now for free what kind of car rental deals we can get you. You'll be amazed. Pick up the phone and call the car rental hotline right now.
Call 800-917-1119. 800-917-1119.
We'll even give you one free rental car day with your reservation. Write this number down right now and call.
Call 800-917-1119. That's 800-917-1119.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
As promised, we got a lot of basketball, college basketball talk today. Basketball as a whole, really, today here on the program. Joining us, just completing his sixth season as the head men's basketball coach at Howard, is Kenny Blakeney. And he's doing some really great things, not on the court, of course, but also off the court with what Howard men's basketball is trying to get done in this NIL and transfer portal world that we live in. As right now, Kenny Blakeney joins us here on Box to Row, live, as a matter of fact, from the Final Four. What's going on, Coach Blakeney? Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be back on.
Absolutely. It's so good to have you. We go back. I remember, I think the first time you and I talked, may have been your first year at Howard. I was doing A&T games at that time, did a little pregame thing with you. And so we've been rolling ever since, and you've really built up this Howard program. I got to start with the, let's just start with the elephant in the room. Blake Harper, outstanding player, from all accounts, an outstanding young man, top 30 scorer in Division I, has entered the transfer portal, 19.5 points for you this season. With the way we are in terms of NIL, transfer portal, et cetera, did you expect that after the season? Were you surprised that he, in fact, entered the transfer portal?
Absolutely not. I was not surprised. It was a conversation, and all the things that we do in our program are pretty transparent. You knew certainly after his first game against Kansas, he goes in and he has double-digit, you know, points in the second half. And throughout the season, you could just see his growth and his confidence building. At some point in time, you know that, you know, from agents specifically are going to start to reach out to him to have a conversation or start the conversation about, you know, putting his name in the portal, transferring to a Power Four, and the opportunity to be able to get an NIL deal. So he and I and his dad have been talking about, you know, transfer portal, Power Four conversations throughout the year. So we were prepared for it, and it's something that's just been on the table, and something from our program has been transparent because we've seen it over the years happen to guys that have been in our program and had those kind of years.
Yeah, so it's nothing new, and it's nothing new to Howard. I mean, there are two, you could talk about greatest basketball players, not only to play at Howard, but to possibly play in the MEAC that have transferred. And most notably, young man's name is escaping me, went to Boston College years and years ago, but even before the whole transfer portal thing. But I mean, I gotta imagine that, like you mentioned, you're talking with his father, you want the best for him also. But I gotta imagine to some degree it's gotta be disappointing because you're looking forward to another season building around this young man, perhaps, and making another run at a MEAC tournament championship.
Well, I don't think it's disappointing, right? It's just the lay of the land, and it's the time, and it's the way that college basketball is going now. I was disappointed several years ago when Elijah Hawk and Steve Settles and Jordan Wood left as sophomores eligibility-wise off of a team that should have came back and won back-to-back MEAC titles. You know, if we have that team together right now, we're probably a top 25 team in the country. Elijah is at Texas Tech, and their starting point guard led that league in assists. Steve Settles was the second leading scorer at Temple University this year, and Jordan Wood was at Stetson and was their best player. So I think having the getting punched in the gut, you know, 2 years ago kind of made me aware and woke me up to, hey, this is the reality of where college basketball is. So it's more, I don't want to use the word transactional, but let's just be, let's get ahead of things first before we try to play catch up. So if we can have these conversations, as I mentioned throughout the year, and is there something that we can mutually find in the middle? If not, how can I help you? That has, for me, that's been the way that we've done business over the last couple of years.
How in this landscape of where we are, transfer portal, NIL, you've had, as you mentioned, appropriately, a couple of players now, so it'll be more recently, Blake Harper entering the transfer portal. How do you now go about, you know, building a program when maybe you don't have the dollars to give like other maybe higher programs and then the Power Four programs have to give to young men? I think we lost Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, joining us here on the program. We're going to try and get him back. But as he mentioned, it wasn't a surprise that Blake Harper entered the program, nor was he disappointed behind it. And do we have him back now? Do we have him back? I believe we have Kenny Blakeney back. Kenny Blakeney is in his sixth season as the head men's basketball coach at Howard. He joins us here on the program. And Coach Blake, I mean, listen, you appropriately said it, right? And that's interesting because all of the guys you mentioned, excellent guys for your program. You mentioned possibly being a top 25 program if you had all of those guys. So Blake Harper's the latest in a line of players to leave to enter the transfer portal, which means, man, you're not only recruiting these guys, but you're coaching them up. So how do you, like, build a program moving forward when you don't have the dollars of more of the higher mid-majors or the Power Four conferences? How do you build a program now to try and get back to that MEAC tournament championship and beyond and being able to compete at the level that you want to compete at?
Well, one of the things is trying to keep a core of your guys together. You know, if you look at all the teams last year in the MEAC that were able to get to the championship game and ultimately win it, you know, Norfolk State and South Carolina State did as about as good a job as you could with keeping the guys that they had, their core guys, the majority of their guys, in the fold. This issue is affecting everyone now, from the Power Fives down to guys that are in our league. So, you know, trying to have some success and sustainable success is going to be challenging year in and year out. But I think, you know, there's so many good players in the portal. You know, it's going to allow you to have a chance. I talk about how the portal, when you go through this process, two things. One, it's a little bit of a shotgun wedding, and it's fast. You know, Portal Day opened up a couple weeks ago on a Monday, and, you know, there's so many guys right now that have gone and, you know, accepted offers to go be on new teams. You know, but the other thing is when you're going through this process, how do you identify the right person with the right character for your culture that you have? And that's the more challenging question I think that I have is how do we identify the young men that can come in and play for us and have success, but also buy in and fit in our culture, because our culture is really strong. It's something that's given us an opportunity over the last couple of years to have some sustainable success. And when you're going through this process, you don't know if you're meeting, you know, the real person or you're meeting their representative. Because, you know, in a 48-hour kind of courtship or a visit, you know, besides the few conversations that you may have on the phone, you don't really know that person that you're bringing into your culture. So that's probably one of the more, I think, challenging things that we have to go through as coaches is trying to identify the right person. But it is what it is. It's going to be every year you're going to have 7 to 9 players that are new. It's almost like the AAU model. So, you know, you just got to enjoy your team for 1 year and kind of reload and rebuild and know that that is the lay of the land.
So it sounds like, you know, it sounds like you're saying a little bit that you can also, in addition to maybe some of your guys transferring or entering the transfer portal, you can also dip into the transfer portal and build, you know, try and build your team that way, but still trying to, you know, recruit, you know, freshman guys to help build this program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been good in a sense that we've been able to get guys to come to Howard, and, you know, obviously other universities have dipped into the transfer portal as well. But yeah, you're going to lose a kid or two every year that may be a significant player from your program, from your organization, from your school. And, you know, that's just how it is now. Unfortunately, right, wrong, or different, that's the lay of the land that we're in right now.
Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, joining us here on Box to Row. We're going to step aside and take a break. Come back. Want to talk. We got plenty to talk. There's a lot I want to get to with Coach Blakeney. Coach Blakeney, we appreciate the time. We'll step aside, take a small pause for the cause. This is Box to Row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes. Be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston. Grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the offseason. I was able to get that done, and, you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop, and it's giving me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people, and I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there, and that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meach.
He's in Atlanta.
told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls is just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. We're back here on Box to Row. We're talking with Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard. He's at the Final Four. You know, I want to talk with you a little bit. Of course, you're at the Final Four, and I want to talk more about it. Let me start there. What is, you know, take us through those of us that have never been to the Final Four. There's a big-time coaches convention that has been going on for many, many years. Take us through sort of the Final Four from a coach's perspective and what that's like.
Yeah, it is our National Coaches Convention. So the NABC, National Association of Basketball Coaches, have their national convention every year here at the Final Four. And there's so much that goes on, almost too much to talk about. Like yesterday for me, I get in and I do my NABC organization stuff with getting my Final Four tickets, understanding where the meetings and the basketball clinics are. I did Radio Row yesterday for an hour, so I did 5 national radio interviews within a structure of an hour. I had dinner last night with my agency that represents me. Today we have our head coaches meeting, so every head coach in the country at 10:30 will be in a room and we'll discuss college basketball, the landscape of college basketball. I am speaking this afternoon at a social justice panel. There'll be some basketball clinics and basketball things that I want to go attend just to see if I can stay sharp on my game, see what the other people are doing. The Final Four practices are open today. So if there's an opportunity in between meetings to run over to watch the practices, that's something I'm going to do. You know, like my day tomorrow, I'm speaking at the Black Coaches Association. The basketball game is obviously tomorrow. There's also in the evenings tons of different kind of social parties that are going on. There's one event tonight that I'm going to that matches up-and-coming coaches with all the leading search firms in the country. So there's so many things that are going on here at the Final Four. And for anybody that hasn't gone, it is like homecoming, but with 4 different universities that are here, and just a very festive atmosphere, a very cool atmosphere. All the coaches are so approachable and right there where you can just walk up and say hello and maybe have a conversation with your favorite coach or somebody that you really admire. So it is a really neat atmosphere and something I would highly recommend everybody to do.
No doubt about it. And thinking back, I got to mention this before we go on, the young man that I was thinking about that transferred out of Howard to Boston College back in the day. This was before the transfer portal, was Xavier Singletary. I know you're going to know that name. I couldn't think of his name. You know, R.J. Cole more recently, and then some of the other players under you that have done the same thing. You're doing so, you know, Howard men's basketball is doing so many innovative things. That's the thing about it, like trying to, you know, raise money, NIL, et cetera. I want to talk about the latest thing that you've done, but I also want to talk about last year, and we talked about this extensively on the program. One of the things that you had talked about, or at least was written about, was sort of making an investment, if you will, in Howard men's basketball. Where are you with that in terms of really trying to build up the finances for Howard men's basketball, but specifically to what you had started and talked about last year around this time?
Yeah, so private equity is now like the elephant in the room around sports. And I think the bigger conversation with private equity is the wording of ownership in collegiate athletics and in academia, colleges and universities around the country. That is the kind of buzzword that scares people away from private equity, talking about owning 51% of a college, university, or whatever those numbers are. But that's where some of the conversation is. It's like it's tilting towards, hey, look, you know, we're seeing transfer portal. There's all these conference alignment deals that are going on. There's so many things that are going on and moving at a speed that is just so fast right now in intercollegiate athletics, and private equity is at the forefront of those conversations. I don't think that the structure of the way people are talking about private equity will go over. I know that I've talked to so many people who have reached out to me that are in that private equity space since that Washington Post article. And the, you know, some of the information they've given back to me is that with trying to have private equity in universities, especially talking about ownership, is that there's too many people in the room that can say no, which means board of trustees, you know, university presidents, athletic directors, you know, administrators, alums that may not want to see the traditional model of sport change, but private equity is here. They're doing it within conferences. The NBA, NHL, they've already have jumped in and are, you know, allowing private equity firms to get involved there. So it's only a matter of time for private equity to now trickle down to the universities. But I think the thing that we're going to have to, you know, figure out as we're moving forward with this is that it's not about ownership of a university team. I don't think that they're going to allow that, but I could totally be wrong. It's going to be some type of partnership with a private equity firm to be able to support and, I think, energize an athletic department in a way that, you know, the traditional dollars cannot.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I mean, you're at Howard University, which is a quite frankly, a worldwide brand, more so outside of athletics, more so from an academic space. So do you feel like now that those at Howard have maybe a better understanding of what you're trying to get accomplished, and then therefore you can move on to try to, you know, to really try to implement what you're trying to get done with the private equity?
I think from that standpoint, everybody gets it, right? But it's just the fact that from the feedback that I've gotten is that, you know, it's impossible for a university to sell part of this university to private equity, but they're doing it anyway in other areas, right? There's there's so many relationships and partnerships that are going on throughout a university that are happening, where money is being exchanged for different, you know, reasons. And those reasons have all been great reasons to benefit and support and energize and grow universities. Now, on the other flip side is it's just like, I think the ownership, and now you're talking about athletics and sports, and you know, the academic side of it is like, hey, that money, if you're doing this, should be supporting academics. And we're trying to, you know, I guess convey and give a narrative that if we're able to grow and build our athletic department, it only strengthens the academic brand. There's more applications that come in. There's more bookstore revenue sales that come in. You get to strengthen your, you know, university ranking by something like this. It's a partnership that it's a win-win. But again, the part about owning 50% or owning 51% of a university's athletic program is something that is really hard for people to digest right now.
Again, Howard head men's basketball coach Kenny Blakeney joining us here on the program. He's at the Final Four. We're going to talk. I want to get his thoughts on the Final Four matchups as well. Sort of last thought about this, Coach Blakeney, from a MEAC perspective, because to the point, you know, a lot of the schools are losing big time players and to NIL more specifically. Do you have any thoughts in terms of what schools in the MEAC, maybe schools that are like MEAC schools, can do to try to generate more, either generate more NIL dollars, or is there something across the board that can happen so that if I hate this term, but lower majors, if that what, you know, lower major Division I programs, whether they can do or can be helped to be able to build up more NIL dollars?
Well, I think from a perspective of how we recruit players, can we get them to sign a contract? Because right now we're in contract land. We're in professional sports, right? So this is what it is. Can we have contracts where these young men are required to stay for 2 years? And I use 2 years as the minimum. Some people want to use three. I think it's hard to kind of, you know, pin somebody in for 3 years. Hell, I may not want somebody on my team for 3 years. So I think if we take a look at it and say maybe a 2-year commitment to something like that, where if that person wants to get out of his contract, now what is the commitment that the university that he's going to can make to the university he's coming from, where it's like a buyout his contract? So if there's, you know, a young man going for $500,000, can we get 20% of that $5,000 back at his university that he's leaving from if that contract is broken? Mm-hmm. That gives you a little bit more sustainability. Or if that young man transfers out before the contract is over, he has to sit out a year. There's all different kind of ways to try to help, I think, mid-majors and all schools alike to have a little bit more stability. But right now, there's no rules and regulations. And when you talk about the NIL dollars, it's just how creative can you be, right, to really, I think, grasp the opportunity for sustainable success in this landscape. So is it private equity? Is it, you know, doing some kind of fundraising? Is it having an alum that is, you know, a little bit of a whale kind of alum that can give a program $20 million in order for it to be sustainable? Do you look at how these other leagues have kind of really gained market share, and that's through TV revenues and TV rights? So is it, you know, having some type of league opportunity that gives you a little bit more money where you can have a stronger revenue share now that universities, I think, will be able to do that? So there's tons of different ways to skin this cat. I think everybody right now is trying to find ways to be creative in this space, and especially at a time where we really don't have any rules and regulations around what's going on. Can you be first to market in some areas that are creative and probably a little bit outside of the box during this time and period right now.
That is Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, joining us here. Look, Coach Blakeney, I need you to hold the line for me. I know he's busy. This is such a great conversation. I want to continue it on the other side. Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard. We're talking NIL transfer portal and more. Keep it locked.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs. From the game of the week feature to interviews to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered. Ooh. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row? BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls. From the Press Box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels. You're old school. So you've instituted where the players are not allowed to have cell phones in the locker room.
Well, you got a young group and you're just trying to get some cohesiveness going on. Years ago, inside of a clubhouse, what happens inside of a clubhouse stays inside of a clubhouse. I'm going to leave that at that. I don't want to talk about that.
I got you. But I like it. Can I like it, Ron. I like it.
I appreciate that. That's because you have a sane mind.
Yeah.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Doesn't matter what your sport, he talks your language. It's Donald Ware. From the Press Box to Press Row, it's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the Press Box to Press Row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Continuing our conversation with Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, right here on Box Row. On the other side, Coach Blakeney had some thoughts in terms of what needs to happen to sort of balance things out for mid-majors, low-major programs to be able to compete for those NIL dollars with players. And Coach Blakeney, I gotta say this. Like, I don't look at it this way, and this will be the last time. I don't necessarily look at it this way, but some will say, well, what about the coaches? Should the coaches be the committed in terms of to something similar to what you're talking about with the players? Because there are no rules against the coaches leaving to take the next job. Thus, and especially back in the day, and you know this, Coach Blakeney, back in the day, a coach brings a player in, there was more of a commitment that the player had to make to the program from an NCAA perspective and transferring out. Meanwhile, the coach could move on. Should something be implemented for coaches as well?
Absolutely. And that's part of the model that I just gave you. One of the things that, you know, allows a coach to be able to kind of get up and leave is that coaches have buyouts in their contracts. And some of these buyouts are hefty, hefty buyouts. You look at, you know, some of the guys that are moving from job to job, they probably have, you know, $1 million to $2 million buyout in their contract. So those are some of the things that prohibit coaches from kind of bouncing around and leaving. But the other thing is, hell, you got to be successful to have those opportunities to be able to get up and go as well. So there's really not that protection in there for universities or for players in the sense that a coach can't get up and leave, because he can. The only thing that prohibits him or her from not doing it could be buyouts in their contract. So it works both ways right now. And I think just having for student athletes to have the power that they do is great. But at some point in time, I'm all for student athletes getting money. I love NIL. I love the fact that they have a voice. I just want to have a little bit more stability and guardrails with how we move in this point in time of NIL transfer portal, where it just has a little bit more structure to it. Because at the end of the day, if a young man is transferring two or three or four times, we're not talking about academics and education at this point in time. We're talking about a professional athlete. And I think, to be honest with you, a lot of what's going on is systematic for our young men and women to not be able to graduate in the rate that they were able to graduate before.
Mm. Last thought, Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, joining us here on the program. We appreciate the time. I want to get your thoughts on the matchup. Your alma mater, Duke, taking on Houston, and then Auburn taking on Florida. Your thoughts in these two matchups?
Yeah, the Duke-Houston matchup is going to be a heavyweight fight. And I think, honestly, whoever is standing or the first to probably, 75 in this game may win. Houston is really scary. And for me, their toughness, their maturity, their motor, Coach Sampson has done such an incredible job of building that program and making it a program year in and year out that has a chance to get to the Final Four. And a lot has to just do with the type of young men that he gets in through his recruiting efforts at Houston. That really, as a Duke alum and a guy that, is here to support and root for Duke, scares the hell out of me. I really think that, Duke is going to be in for one of those games where, it's going to come down to probably, I was having dinner with a couple of Dukes last night, and some people thought it was going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a game that's going to be a slugfest to the end. And quite honestly, Duke has not had a game recently where they've had game situations. So is it going to come down to like one of those 1991 games when we played at Duke UNLV, and UNLV had been so good all year, beating teams by 20 and 30 points, but not having a chance to really understand how to win games under 4 minutes because they haven't had to do it all year. And you have those possession by possession games where now you got to get stops, you got to execute, you got to use your timeouts, all of those different things that goes into winning games at the end. UNLV hadn't had to do, and Duke, this year's Duke team, hadn't had to do that a whole lot because they've been so good for all the year. So that's a scary game for me, but I got Duke as an alum and someone that has watched this team a lot all year winning that game. I'd say they win it by 7. And then if you look at the Florida matchup with Auburn, again, another scary matchup. Two good defensive teams. Auburn in their physicality has been, great all year. But I think Florida has the best guard and the guy that's playing one of the best outside of Cooper Flagg right now and Clayton at Florida, and has done a great job of closing out games. If you look at how they've played or how he's played from first half of the games that are going on to the games that take place and at the last 10 minutes of the game, he has absolutely dominated those games in the last 10 minutes. And if he can stay hot like he has been in those last 10 minutes of this game against Auburn, I don't think that Auburn has enough firepower to be able to hold him down and to win and close this thing out. So I got Duke and Florida in the championship game with my Dukies cutting down the net on Monday night.
I wouldn't expect you to say no. Seeing Duke play, Duke is very, very good. Kenny Blakeney, he's the head men's basketball coach at Howard, joining us here on the program. And look, he's not just the head men's basketball coach at Howard. This is who else he is. He's a two-time national champion at Duke. Played for not only Coach K, but also played for the legendary Morgan Wooten at DeMatha High School in Hyattsville, Maryland, where he was the player of the year, as a matter of fact, in high school. And he's, of course, from Washington, D.C. Coach Blakeney, I really appreciate you doing this. Appreciate your candor, appreciate the insight and your thoughts, and we look forward to talking with you real soon. Enjoy the Final Four.
Thank you, my brother. This was so fun. I look forward to doing it again sometime.
Your thoughts on anything Kenny Blakeney had to say? And by the way, one of the things he mentioned in terms of what some of the mid-major programs can do is maybe have the student athletes, and in this case, basketball players, sign minimum 2-year contracts, perhaps 3-year contracts to stay at a program. And if that player leaves, then some of the dollars come back to that program. That's interesting. Never thought about it that way. That's an interesting concept. I've heard a couple of different concepts. That's an interesting one. I want to get your thoughts. Share with us your thoughts on X at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. You can also hit me up on my personal X account at DWare1, and we will post this entire conversation with Kenny Blakeney on our website, BoxToRow.com. Real quick, like, it was just fascinating. You know, we normally don't talk with guests for that amount of time, but it was such, you know, a good conversation that I just didn't want it to end. And Coach Blakeney was gracious enough to take his time. So with the time we have remaining, Duke and Houston, and we'll start with that matchup in the Final Four. So I look at Houston, and you look at the score. Houston able to defeat Tennessee by 19 points. And Houston got out to the really, and then that was, of course, in the Elite Eight game. And Houston got out to the really great start, okay? But Tennessee made a run. It cut it into single digits with about 12 minutes or so, it seemed like, remaining in the second half. And then I'm not going to say Tennessee ran out of gas. I just think Houston's defense is absolutely tremendous. Tennessee did stop hitting shots, but part of the reason Tennessee stopped hitting shots is because of the challenges that the Houston defense presented. Tennessee's got a really good program. Shot 29% from the field. Now, part of that was some of the shots that Tennessee missed, but a lot of that had to do with the defense of Houston. And Houston has phenomenal defense because, like, when I watched that game, and I watched that game very closely, especially in the second half, the buckets were not falling. Like, you know, Houston shot 42% from the field, which isn't bad, 43% in the second half. But the thing about Houston, it shot 36% from three-point range and hit some timely three-pointers. And I think that's really what propelled Houston. Uzon is really, really good running that point. He's going to have to be really on point. They're going to need to get more from LJ Crier. And then Emmanuel Sharp was good from three-point range, from long distance, especially in the second half. I mean, when you look at Duke, Duke's got it all. Each game, okay, think about this. In the win over Alabama, which, by the way, was a 20-point win over a good Alabama team, Duke shot 54% from the field. Duke has shot well over 50% in all of its previous four NCAA tournament games. And then even if you go back to the ACC tournament, like, Duke is shooting unbelievably well from the field. It's just going to be an uphill battle. I've got Houston winning this game because I've got Houston as my pick for the national champion. But I think if Houston is able to play enough defense, but then get scoring, because remember, Duke is good defensively as well. Like, Duke doesn't get as much credit as it should for its defensive prowess. That would be a game or an opportunity for Houston to get the victory. But it's going to be an uphill climb for the Cougars. You got the other matchup with Florida and Auburn. Just, we've run out of time, unfortunately, today on Box to Row. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, the interview with Kenny Blakeney, visit our website, boxtorow.com. www.thepressbox.com. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.